Hello and welcome to episode 64 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather Brooker. My guest today is author, educator, ambassador to Genius of Play, Meredith Sinclair. She has some great information for you guys on the show, so stick around. Also want to let you guys know about Up4 Probiotics. Up4 has been manufacturing probiotics and only probiotics since 1979. So they know what they're doing. They have 40 years of clinical research behind them. If you're wondering how you can get your gut healthy, go and learn about Up4 Probiotics. Motherhoodinhollywood.com. Click on the Up4 Probiotics image. That will take you to their website where you can find out about their formulas that are catered to all different age groups, from senior citizens to children's formulas. Up4 is also available in your local Target store. So the next time you're shopping, take a look in the vitamin and supplement section. See which probiotic is right for you and find out how you can start creating a healthier inside. I also want to tell you guys about the new Lansinoh Smart Pump. It is the first pump to use Bluetooth technology. It pairs with the Lansinoh Baby app to help you track pumping, automatically record the date and time and duration of each pumping session. And also you can use the app to record the amount of breast milk that you've pumped each time. The Lansinoh Baby app also makes it easier to track breastfeeding and bottle feeding sessions, diaper changes, and your baby's growth. Plus, this is really cool. You can share that information easily through the app with your healthcare provider. The Lansinoh Smart Pump is also customizable for comfort to help each mom get the most out of every pumping session. What a great tool for new moms to have, especially when you're tired and you don't want to try to remember all of that stuff yourself. The Lansinoh Smart Pump makes it easy for you to do that. Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Lansinoh image that will take you right to Lansinoh, where you can learn more about how you can make the first Bluetooth smart pump work for you.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, you guys, I hope you're having a great week. I'm thrilled that you're here taking the time to listen to my podcast. I appreciate you. I love you. I know you're there. I want to tell you guys my guest today is Meredith Sinclair. She is an ambassador to Genius of Play. And I know you're thinking, what is that? That sounds amazing. Well, Genius of Play is a movement, if you will, to get parents and kids more active and involved in play. What a great idea. I for one, am a big advocate of a lot of play. We act very silly in our house. I mean, there's a time to be serious, but there's also a time for play. And Meredith is also an author, and she is a regular contributor to the Today Show. So one of the things she talked about today is her book. She has a book called Well Played, The Ultimate Guide to Awakening Your Family's Playful Spirit. So it's full of wonderful information and tips and tools you can use as a family to start increasing the amount of play in your household. She also talks about the Genius of Play movement and some of the great things they're doing there. So I'm excited to share this interview with you all. Not everybody is goofy. I get that. Not everybody is like, I'm going to act silly and be playful. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't come naturally for some families. It does for me because I'm an actor and I'm naturally just sort of a goofy person. And I see that playful spirit coming out in my daughter all the time. She's very sassy. She's a stinker. Stinker is the word I call her a lot. I call her a stinker. She's very playful, and I hope, honestly, she never loses that playful spirit. And there's a reason behind that, and Meredith is going to go into that, because there's actual long-term things to gain by having a playful child and by being playful with your kids while they're young. And I can't wait for you guys to hear what she has to say about that. So I want to really quickly say hello to a few new followers over on Twitter, like we do. Emily Horlocker at eHorlocker. Thanks for following us. Mommy of a Princess. That's Kayla Pelican. Thank you so much for following at MIH Podcast. Also, Justin Higgins. All right. I got a lawyer following me, guys. The word is out. And Julie Draper, thank you guys for taking the time to find me on Twitter. I post a lot of crazy things over there, so make sure if you're not following me on Twitter, go over to MIH Podcast. Also, you can find me on Instagram. I'm posting a lot of really fun pictures over there about some of the activities I get to do during the week and places I go with Chan on our adventures together. So go and find Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram and on Facebook as well. And of course, you can keep up with all my shenanigans that I write about on motherhoodinhollywood.com. One of the things, or a couple of things I should say, I got to write about this week was I was invited to a special screening of Bridget Jones's Baby. Yay! I first saw the trailer for this several months ago, and I have been looking forward to it because I don't know about you, but I love Bridget Jones. There's something about this character and this woman that Heidi Fielding created that I just love. There's a little bit of Bridget in all of us, right? You know, that awkward feeling around guys you like, the insecurities in the bedroom, but you know, you still am like, I'm a sexy lady, I'm gonna do this. I mean, it's just such a fun movie and such a fun franchise, I should say. And the movie itself was also fantastic. It was really funny. I was a little worried that they were gonna fall, you know, prey to what a lot of sequels do, where they start giving too many nods to the previous one. Hey, remember when we did this movie, you know, 10 years ago? But they didn't do that. I mean, there was a little bit of that nostalgia, but overall, it was just a funny movie. There aren't a lot of rom-coms being made anymore. Have you guys noticed that? It's mostly, you know, big blockbuster comic book movies and action movies. It makes me wonder if the days of the rom-com are over. I hope not. I really hope not. And speaking of projects, great things coming out, I also went and saw a special screening of a new show on FX called Better Things. If you didn't read my write-up on motherhoodinhollywood.com about it, definitely put this show on your radar. Put it on your DVR list, whatever you need to do. It stars Pamela Adlon, and it was also executive produced by her. She wrote it, she stars in it, and her collaborative partner is Louis C.K., you know, well-known comedian. And the show is so interesting and funny and relatable. And if you're a mom, especially if you're a mom in Hollywood, or if you're an actress in L.A., you will get it. You will love this show and you will be like, oh man, I get where she's coming from. So, and it was also just really nice to talk to her. And afterwards there was a little Q&A and a meet and greet sort of thing. And it's very inspiring too, to see another mom who is creating her own content and is making her way in this business. So good for you, Pamela Adlon. I'm excited. I love it. I love all of the good things that are happening right now in Hollywood. You can watch Better Things on Thursday nights at 10 o'clock on FX. And Bridget Jones' Baby is open now. It opened on September 16th. It is in theaters. I also did a little write-up on both of those projects on my blog. If you'd like to go check it out at motherhoodinhollywood.com, see what I wrote about the shows. Tell me if you agree with me or not. Okay, so I think that's just about it. It's been a good week for me. I have some exciting things to share with you guys coming up in the next few weeks. So be looking out for that on social media and on my website as well. And please take a minute, subscribe to the show, tell a friend. That helps me so much to get the word out and to know that people are listening to the show. It means a lot to me. So that's it for now. I want to get right to my interview with Today Show parenting contributor, educator, and Genius of Play ambassador, Meredith Sinclair. A lot of moms, a lot of mom bloggers, a lot of writers have a hard time calling themselves an expert. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a loaded word.
Parenting expert.
It's such a big word. And also then there's an expectation mm-hmm. there, because people then go, oh yeah,
you think
you know everything. You think you're a perfect mom. Yeah. And that's not fair either.
No.
I think it's because you're willing to share your experiences and to share what you've learned.
Yep.
And that's what makes you an expert.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love to call myself an expert.
But I don't like parenting expert. Like, I would rather be like play expert or
right.
playful living expert, but I feel like there's no expert parenting. But that being said, I know why. You know, I mean, of course, when you're, you know, on television and
Yeah.
You know, I've been introduced that way because that's how they, it makes, you know, they want to give validity to why you're
absolutely
there.
Well, it definitely backs up, like, here's why we're talking to this person.
Exactly. We didn't pull her off the street.
Right.
So
anyway. I'm excited. I'm so glad you brought me a copy, too. Yay. So Well Played, The Ultimate Guide to Awakening Your Family's Playful Spirit. Just the title alone is very exciting. Like, I'm like, oh, because we're such a playful family here. Yeah. We're always, and you know, and you can tell me if my interpretation is different, but we always play games with her. There's lots of tickling. There's lots of silly voices.
Yes.
She has a sound machine that makes really ridiculous sound effects, like wah, 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 or na, 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 na.
Like the sad trombone?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But she, and this girl, her timing, will be in the car, and I'll be like, Channing, we're not going to go get ice cream. And she'll hit the wah, wah, wah.
Awesome. And she's three.
And she's
so
three.
You know what? You know, I'll
and we're
tell
just
you.
Cracking up laughing like, oh my God.
And you know, as a teacher, so I have a master's in education. I was a teacher, classroom teacher. And so I get, you know, the perspective of teacher education, you know, and what that looks like educationally, but then also parentally. And I will say that a keen sense of humor is a sign of a high intellect. I mean, when you can have timing and you get the nuances and you get sarcasm and yet, you know,
she's we're working on sarcasm a little bit because we're very sarcastic. I know. And we're very sarcastic and we'll tease her. Well, maybe it's more the teasing, you know, where we're like, nope, we're not going to do this. And she'll get really mad. Like, no, you said we were going to do it.
That's because 3-year-olds are incredibly literal.
She is very literal. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh, take a joke.
Right.
Which is so mean.
Act your age. That's what we should say. Act your age, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
But it's that new... Well, there's that nuance there because at three, right, they are meant to be, and they are very literal. But because you're doing that playfully, she's going to be like, oh, there's a way to do that in a playful way, and that's really what you mean. And, you know.
Yeah, I'm hoping she'll pick up on that because my husband and I both have very sarcastic and playful sense of humor. So I'm hoping that she'll pick up on
rub
that.
Off. Oh, it doesn't have any choice but to. I mean, I think. I remember my son's second grade teacher. Actually, it was his third grade teacher who was very funny, sarcastic that way.
Yeah.
And my son Truman loved her. It was his favorite teacher.
Oh, see, those are some of the most memorable teachers.
Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, there are certain kids whom I can't do that with because they get like... what are you talking about? Like, and she's like, Truman just gets it because my husband and I are the same way, sort of dry, you know. But it's great because it's that read in the room, the nuances of, you know, people and
knowing your audience.
Great. Knowing your audience. But yeah, play, you sound like you already are starting from that place. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this book, I really wanted it to be a lifestyle book where I cover in each chapter, in each section, it's like play. I start out with your playground and how to create a playful home and one that invites playfulness. And then play for yourself, play with your mate, play with your own friends, and play with your family. Of course, the play with your family section is the biggest section because that's really what I concentrate on most.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really important to also talk about the power of play in all the relationships of our lives, not just with our children, and how it enhances our marriage or our partnership or the relationships with our friends. And, you know, the genius of play movement. And I just was so excited when they contacted me because it was, you know, you get, as you know, as a blogger and a writer and someone with a website, you get people wanting to partner and it doesn't always match. And sometimes it's tempting, like, oh, this could be cool, but, you know, but for the genius of play movement, it was a perfect match because it also brought me back around to my teaching days of, what are the developmental benefits of play? And I think when you can start there with parents, especially ones with young children, to say, this is why your play with them is so good for them and their play on their own, open-ended, unstructured, not adult-led, self-led. Sometimes we just think, oh, they're just messing around when they're, you know, trash in the living room building a blanket fort.
Yeah, she does that a lot.
But the things she's learning, cause and effect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I do this, this is going to tumble. And how do I balance this? And there's physics there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much cognitive learning going on in their free, imaginative play.
Yeah.
And I think I've noticed over the years of, you know, raising my own children, being in a classroom, there is less and less time allowed for that these days with kids, and less as they get older.
Is it because of all of the testing requirements that these schools have now, or is it because... Because I feel like out here, ever since I had Chan, I hear an emphasis on play. Like it's, I don't know if it's like a resurgence, like, but they need to learn through play.
I think there's
or if that's just maybe LA in particular.
I've seen it because I get all the Google alerts on like when all of the anything that's written about play, I like to read about it, and I definitely have seen it becoming more in the ethos of people, and I think it's because there's becoming a backlash. So parents. Especially if you were raised in the 70s and 80s, early 80s, which a lot of us, you know, I think fall into that.
I was raised in the 90s, Meredith.
Okay, so. Well, oh my gosh. Wow, I feel like ancient.
I'm totally lying. I'm such a jerk, by the way.
But the millennials now are going to be like, what? What are you talking about? But they're the next batch of parents, right. You know? But I think for us as parents, there's you know, with the No Child Left Behind movement and all of this, oh my gosh, fear inducing, you know, we got to keep up.
Yeah.
And all that, that's where all the testing came in, and that's where the lack of recess happened and all that. So we're seeing now like, hey, we turned out really great and we had a lot of free play.
Yeah.
And we learned through that and we want that for our own children. So I think our generation of parents are like coming around going, yeah, you know what? It's not all about all the classes and the, you know, academics and all of this adult-led things that we have our kids in, all the lessons and, you know, so that they can be at the top of the class.
Yeah.
But that there's also room for that, like I said, unstructured free play that also is going to get them there as well in a great way.
But how can we as parents change that? Because, I mean, you're talking about every school system in this country now is doing, like, you know, we could talk about Common Core. We could talk about the No Child Left Behind. I mean, there's so many structured, focused things that are happening in school. I think just based on what I've read, it's very fear-based to where our kids are not going to be competitive on a global scale if we let them play.
Well, I don't think...
play, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so talking about change, how do we change that? I mean, I think, first of all, we are educating ourselves as a parent base. I also think... I wrote a piece about not blaming the teachers because the teachers aren't making these decisions often. You know,
they're just implementing.
And so the more we can talk about, the more things like Genius of Play, that's why I think that movement is so great because it really talks about the developmental benefits cognitively, socially, emotionally. I mean, we're talking about like heavy educational greatness, right? So I think the more, just like anything, the more we're talking about it, the more we talk about it to teachers, it's something that we value, then that will hopefully trickle up because it's all trickling down.
And the administrators will get it and the school boards and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I think there's, I mean, like I said, I think there's a lot being written about it, like great articles in the New York Times and, you know, the Boston Globe, like lots of great things are being written about it because research is being done and that can only help to fuel that movement of like free play. And I would love to get back to play back in kindergarten. Kindergartners should still be learning through play. They should not be sitting at desks with worksheets yet at that age.
I had a friend who I was talking to yesterday who said that her kindergartner came home with first week of school with homework. And I was like, what?
Five years old. And some of these kids have just turned five.
And she's like, well, it's like letters and stuff. And I'm like, okay, but really?
And their homework here's some shaving cream or? And, you know, let's make your letters in the shaving cream. You have to do letter work.
Yeah.
And then, which is great. Letter recognition is great. But there are lots of ways to do that playfully.
What happens if your five-year-old doesn't do his homework?
Do their homework.
Yeah. Like, do they get kicked out? Do they get suspended?
I mean, I think it's that to me is a conversation with the teacher. I would want to know what, I would like to understand why. Yeah. What do you view as the benefits of this homework? And
are they testing at that age? Like, is there a reason?
I do not believe. I mean, any school that I know is not testing at kindergarten. No, but they're all, you know what? I had a wonderful mentor. I taught preschool for a couple of years and I had a wonderful mentor she was maybe in her 60s at the time. And she had done a lot of work in like developmental preschools. And she said, we need to teach kids where they are, not where we want them to be. So I think what happens is we go, okay,
we know that by first grade, and I know what they're going to ask them to do in first grade. I know what they're going to need to do in second grade. So we got to get them ready, you know, right now, mm-hmm. even though they might just have turned five, to
for the next step,
to be able to sit yeah. in that desk and do that worksheet.
Yeah.
But what we're missing is when you take those, when you skip steps, when you jump ahead and you don't let them learn where they are and how they learn best at that age is through play. If you take that away, you're actually chipping away at things. You're chipping away at the foundation.
Yeah.
So when you begin to build the other things, it could be harder later for them yeah. to do those things. Otherwise, if we just let them build their foundation through play, they're going to be ready because of that when they need to be.
What about the argument that then it would be harder, number one, for teachers to meet every child in their classroom because some classrooms are so large.
Absolutely. There's
lots
meet of
every problems. Yeah, to meet every kid at their school level mm-hmm. and let them sort of play at their own level, learn at their own pace and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Eventually, you are going to have kids who are left behind because there are developmental delays. There are mm-hmm. Emotional delays that could hold them back.
Yeah.
So I don't know that our current education system, the mm-hmm. way it is, could support what you're mm-hmm. suggesting. I think it's great, but yeah. I think that major reform needs to happen.
Well, okay, so if we're talking about like kindergarten, though, yeah. I mean, that's typically, you know, as a kindergarten teacher, those delays, you're going to see those and you're going to understand, mm-hmm. okay, at that age, a lot of it's immaturity. It's social, you know, it might be
verbal.
It's verbal, exactly. And so there's, and especially in public schools, there's loads of services for those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I don't think that keeping play in kindergarten, and I'm not saying take out academics, I'm saying use play for the teaching if you're going to do
yeah, like yeah.
There are many ways to teach those academic
so it
skills.
It doesn't have to be so
one or the other.
Heavy. Yeah,
and like you don't need. It's not like play or cognitive right. learning or you know right. academics. It's sort of how do we marry those two so mm-hmm. kids still are learning the way they learn best, but learning the material they need to know. So I mean, I'm not suggesting that in you know, sixth grade they're playing at you know at the kitchen. You know, like but again. If you ask, you know, sixth graders, even 12-year-olds, to sit all day long, especially if they do have ADHD, ADD, any kind of issue.
Learning issues.
That's torture.
Yeah.
That's torture for them. Yeah. So we take away recess and, you know, playground time, mm-hmm. which maybe often is only 15 to 20 minutes
yeah.
a day, you know. You take that completely out. You're making these kids just like
torture for them.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are enjoying this interview with Meredith Sinclair and are already starting to think of ways you can incorporate play into your daily family lives. I know we do it. We love it. It is a big part of our family and our goals as well. One thing we also incorporate into our daily lives is the use of Up4 probiotics. That's right. Every day, Chris Channing and I all take our Up4 probiotics. Channing uses the kids cubes, which are specifically designed for kids her age. And I have the women's formula and Chris uses the adult formula. Why we do it is so we can increase and support our gut health. By doing that, by supporting the healthy probiotics inside of our gut, that helps us to strengthen our immune system and give digestive support, which is super important. Go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Up4 probiotics image. That will take you to Up4, where you can see the variety of formulas they have and find out which one is right for you. Also, take a look in the vitamin and supplement aisle the next time you're in your local Target store, because there are Up4 probiotics available there as well. Up4 probiotics has been creating a healthier inside since 1979. I also want to tell you guys about the brand new Lansinoh Smart Pump. It is the first pump to use Bluetooth technology. That's because it pairs with the Lansinoh Baby app to help you track pumping, automatically record the date and time and duration of each pumping session. And when you're a new mom with a brand new baby, that is a very helpful tool to have. So definitely go to motherhoodinhollywood.com, click on the Lansinoh image, and that will take you right to their site so you can learn more about the Bluetooth Smart Pump and the Lansinoh Baby app and how it can work for you. Finally, there's a smarter way to pump. So now we're talking about younger kids, yes. But at what point does it apply all the way through to our 18-year-olds, our 25-year-olds? Oh, yeah. You know, like at what point, I mean, does play shift from academics, or do you think there always needs to be an element of play in your parenting?
Well, I have an 18-year-old.
I'm really proud of that question, by the way.
Yeah, it's
really
a great question.
Because it ended with an alliteration, play and parenting.
And oh my gosh. And in my book, I say, get ready. I play love alliteration. So I'm like, if you don't like alliteration, don't read my book. Because you're just going to be like, oh my gosh, again.
Do you think?
So I think when you're talking about academically, like, so I can speak because I have an 18-year-old. I just sent him off to college. I've seen all those levels, right, in parenting. I do not think play ever goes away in parenting. Mm-hmm. I think absolutely kids, especially teenagers, when they start going through those teenage years, they're so stressed these days with the
imagine.
Think it's pressured in kindergarten. Oh, wait till like 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, where it's all about where you're going to go to college.
And they're trying to get into AP classes. They're trying to get on debate teams and social.
And
at everything. Yes. Yeah, I can't imagine.
So playfulness at that age, in that teenage age, we're talking about their well-being. Mm-hmm. We need to incorporate that as families, as parents, because our kids need that for their own mental and stability and stress relief.
Do you think that they're receptive to it though?
I absolutely do.
Because sometimes there's the old adage of like the teen rebellion. They don't want a mom. You're embarrassing me. That kind of thing.
So I'll give you an example. So I just moved from Chicago, and we had a lake cottage in the woods about an hour and a half away. That was like our getaway. It's unplugged. We don't have any media there.
I'm going to go there.
You're
sounds
invited.
Amazing.
It's empty right now because we're gone. So you can take, tell me when you
want
to
get away like everywhere. It's great.
So we made a very conscious effort when we set up that place that we were not going to spend money on, like TVs and stuff, yeah. But we were going to spend money on like playful things. So one of the things we bought for that space was the outside was a spring free trampoline, an awesome trampoline. I love the spring free ones. If you're scared of trampolines, because there's no metal parts.
There's no metal parts.
Oh. They're amazing. They still bounce super high.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those.
Spring free. This is not an ad for them because they never pay me to say this, but you can bounce off the walls. Like it's super cool. So we bought one. Now my kids at that point were 13 and 9. And I will tell you that my son we were there this summer, and my son, who was 18 going off to college, and my 14-year-old boy were on that trampoline together with the hoop, talking, connecting, and playing and laughing and enjoying each other. And then we had a very stressful summer ahead of us. We were moving across the country, leaving their friends, a lot of big changes. And I think that, and I know in my experience, that playfulness brings people together. Egos fall away, age falls away, roles fall away, and we can just bond in this silly way. Mm-hmm. So I know it firsthand to be the truth. And I write in my book that, when I have two boys, so I can only speak from this experience. I know that for boys, for them to open up and connect, they often need to be doing something with you or throw in a football.
I was going to say, so like the old image that you see like in the sitcom, not to bring it back to TV, but or like, in the old TV shows where you see dad and son out throwing a football in the yard, like, hey, buddy, how's everything going?
Yeah. Or fishing off the boat.
Or fishing,
on Golden Pot. Like,
so there's something to that then.
There is. I had actually read a book, and now I'm not going to remember the name of it. It was years ago. It was a book about boys and raising boys. And I remember the author saying, it was a male author. He said in the book that very thing, like if you want a boy to open up to you and tell you about his day, don't sit down and be like, so dude, like what's up to you? And then talk like, it's more like grab your mitt. Let's go out. I'm not a great, I have two older brothers, so I can throw a mean spiral, but not awesome at like the baseball thing, but I can catch it.
Are you a Bears fan?
No, I'm a Steelers fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Go Steelers.
Yeah. Are you going to watch the Rams at all now that you're here in LA?
Well, see, I have no, unless they're playing the Steelers, and then people are going to laugh, people, big good football people, because I don't know if they even are in the same division, and even if they play each other.
I don't either. No judgment. No. I don't either. I have no idea. I'm excited that we have a football team again.
So, yes, you have a football team. So I'm sure we'd love to go to a game here. Yeah. Well, we did go to a Dodgers game, and they were playing the Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Fun.
See, we're originally from Western Pennsylvania, so we have to stay loyal. Mm-hmm. But I
I absolutely found that if I started playing with one of them in some way, and then started to ask some questions, much more open, much more open. And I think that happens with adults. Did
they ever
catch
on to you? Were they ever aware, like, mom's trying to get something out of me? Do you think that they're catching on now?
I don't think they were ever like, she wants to get, like, dirt.
What's mom up to?
But I do think they absolutely know because of what I do, and so I'm so involved in this, that they knew that I wanted to connect with them. And I knew that that was a good way to connect
with
them.
But I think that's okay. Like, it's important, I think, for kids to know that you want to connect with them and that you're not just, like, checked out, or you're not just the rule setter. Like, hey, I'm just here to give you the guidelines and, you know.
Yeah. And you know what I've found raising my boys is, even though they knew that and they knew I had an ulterior motive to connect with them and they could act like they were too cool for school, at the end of the day, they loved it. They might not tell you directly, but it'll come out later that, oh, that was really fun. Or I remember my son Truman, who's 14 now, one night we were doing something I talk about in the book is one night we were doing a dinner, like those, would you, they called it Coke or Pepsi. Mm-hmm. It's that Coke or Pepsi game. Like, do you like Coke or Pepsi? And then you talk which one. And then we get, you get into other bigger choices, you know, like silly things. But we did that for like an hour at dinner. And later that night, my son said to me, I learned so much about you. I didn't know. And they were quirky things.
Yeah.
But he loved knowing those things about me. And we were just playing this game, you know? So
I think also too, what comes to mind when you say that is setting him up for his future wife and to respect women in the future and listen to them and get to that. I don't even know if that's something you thought about, but that's,
I hadn't, but that's a good point.
Initially, that's what I thought of immediately is if he's going to take the time to get to know his mom and ask questions and like tell him about yourself, that is something that could carry over into future relationships with women as well.
Yeah,
or
I
men, no judgment.
Or men, right? Or whoever their partner may be. Yeah, no judgment, no heat. And I just think, you know, going back again to the genius of play movement, we, when we start with, like, we're talking about young children, when we value play and they see that we value playfulness, then I think they're much more likely to carry that on through their whole lives. And absolute research has shown that, like, your overall all well-being needs to include play and playfulness. You see it in animals. I mean, look, like, dogs are, to me, are like our best example of this, right? All they want to do is play. Right?
Yeah.
Play. But, you know, every animal, you can see ways that they play, and we're not any different. And so I, again, why I really jumped into being the ambassador for Genius of Play was I think when you can tell parents, these are the benefits that your child is getting. Relax, they're getting them right now just through their own play. Give them time and space for it. That's all we're saying.
Right.
Give them 60 minutes a day. Give them time and space to play and understand the brilliance that's happening when you do that.
Yeah. So I was thumbing through your book and the one thing that immediately caught my eye is in defense of the dance party.
Oh, yeah.
And
I have a feeling you do this.
We do. And when I saw that you were like, oh, people post on social media that they have dance parties. We do. My daughter and I in the morning, she is every morning wants to listen to Frozen. Or the Fresh Beat Band, what's the other big one she likes to listen to? Well, sometimes I'll put it on like a mix of like Disney kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll dance for a couple minutes in our kitchen. She loves it. And she'll ask all the time to dance. She does this thing now where she'll go shake your booty. And I'm like, where did you learn that? Because I don't say that. It must be some kid at school.
Some show.
Some stinker at school.
Yeah.
So I am totally in defense of the dance party, and I know we do that here. I mean, we don't do it every day. No. We don't do it, you know, all the time, but it's definitely a fun aspect of what we do. So what are some other examples of the types of play that parents can engage in?
Well, you know, I write a lot about things that are very easy to do, not like these big, I say in there, like, the only thing Martha Stewart and I have in common is, like, our initials, because I am not the DIY queen. Like, right.
I'm not either.
You know, I'm not going to tell or suggest that you do something that takes all this time and money.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to organize a flag football game in your front yard or whatever.
Yeah, and also, you know, I'm very clear that like not every single day are we just like juggling in the kitchen and, you know, like it's not just circus playtime all the time. Right. But what I say is shift your perspective to find those moments, those little snippets where you could invite playfulness in.
Like playful moments.
And it could change the whole dynamic of your family.
Yeah.
Right. So like for me, one of the things that you were asking about some specific ideas, like I had in my other kitchen where that I just left, I had a kitchen island that I literally was like, I felt like I was behind that kitchen island like 85-90% of my day, you know, feeding snacks and breakfast and cooking and even working. That's working, where I worked, you know. And so it had a drawer. And I said, like, you know, if you have a kitchen drawer or a kitchen island drawer where you are hanging out with your people a lot, we all know when the hangries set in and the after school grumpies and the frustration with homework. And as your kids get older, not in kindergarten.
No homework.
No homework in kindergarten. But I used to keep fun things in that drawer that would incite playfulness. So riddle books. Kids love riddles and jokes and craft things that they could do, like for little ones. I love like the stickers where they can have the eyeballs and the thing and like the face and the mouth, and then they can create and with the markers around it, and then we can tell a story, a playful story about that character that you just made. Yeah. So I like things that are readily available. So I'm big on pre-production. Pre-produce your playfulness a little bit so that when you have those moments, either whether they're grumpy or not,
ready.
You can say, oh, I've got this thing. Another thing I talk about are play crates. Super easy. It's something that I sort of learned from my days in the classroom, because we used to do these things called centers. I don't know if they do them anymore, but they were like thematic centers. Oh. It sort of harkens to Montessori kind of thing, except they're not so structured, you know?
Yeah, I think they have similar. My daughter's in preschools, but I think they have, because they definitely have little areas of her class.
It's basically
one's
centers.
One's like a reading area, one's got tables and chairs.
It could be
and
a
one's
science
like a little
center.
Kitchen area.
Yeah.
One's like got a dress up closet where she goes right for the Elsa dress every day.
Every time. My son used to wear his, I loved our preschool. They used to let him take the costumes home as long as we washed them. And then he would literally wear it like Batman every day to school,
so
to and from school. And they didn't care. They were like, we don't care what they wear, just so they have clothes on. Like they can wear their bathing suit to school because they want to be in deep sea diver that day. And they can, you know, as long as it's clean.
Right.
But like the play crate idea is easy. It's sort of like a box, a shoebox, a container where maybe the theme is, one of the things my boys used to love to do was animal hospital. And we would do, they would take their stuffed animals, they would take their G.I. Joes and whatever little characters they had, and they would make a whole little hospital for them and triage them and work on them and like doctor kit stuff.
Yeah.
That's band-aids and gauze and stuff you can find at the grocery or the pharmacy, you know?
I keep trying to get Channy to do that in the hopes that she will be a doctor.
Oh, really?
And I'm like,
start now through play.
You want to play doctor, right? And she's like, no. And I'm like, are you sure?
I want to be Elsa again.
I'm like, no, you want this stethoscope? Oh my God, I can't even talk. But like, I keep
encouraging
that.
Elsa could be a doctor.
Yeah. In the hopes that maybe she'll go, I'm a really good play doctor. Maybe one day I'll be a real doctor.
Yeah, could happen. Absolutely. Happen. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just simple for our young kids. It's setting them up for play. And when they say, as they get a little bit older, like, I'm bored, because when you give kids open-ended time and when they're not absolutely used to that, especially in our day and age where like it's a
everyone's
lot of adult structure
things. Yeah.
You have to be okay as a parent with some, how do I put it? The unboards and the, I don't know what to do. And I don't, you know, I don't have anything, I don't have anything to do. So I say, when you hear that, it's like brilliant. Cause it's this invitation of like, let's do something fun.
Right.
What can we do? And so sometimes they need prompts. Sometimes kids need prompts for playfulness. And maybe it's just a prompt that you, it's like with the dress up clothes, it's something that you, and when we, I have found, and I'm sure you found this because you said, you know, you were saying that you invite playfulness. And when you get playful, when you're dancing in the kitchen, when you go there, as I say, you can, your kid's eyes, don't they just, they light up.
She does. Her face gets so big because she's like, oh,
you're one of us.
Yes. She totally, I mean, it's just the best smile ever. And then she'll just start giggling and laughing because she just thinks it's so much fun. And you know, Chris is really good. My husband's really good about getting down on the floor with her and like, you know, tickling and she does the piggyback rides. Like now she's all about like horsey rides. Horsey ride. And I'm like, you started it. Now yeah. you have to do it. And he's like,
ugh. It's going to get harder as yeah, the years go on.
But yeah. yeah, she loves it. Her face lights up for sure.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's that recognition of, like I said, you're one of us. Oh, you have that in you too.
Yeah.
And we can connect in this way. And I think when you do that, when they're little, I have found with my own children that they're way more receptive to doing that when they become teenagers. And I will tell you, it's a brilliant tool when they're teenagers, because there's a lot, as you said, I mean, there's a lot of stuff because they're trying to push away from you. They're trying to be their own people. They're trying to figure out who they are.
Right.
And that's all the really natural. Are going
crazy.
And it's all supernatural. But it also can cause a lot of conflict because as moms, we're still wanting to like, let me just help you.
Hold them and, yeah.
And playfulness breaks all that down. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it breaks away your roles and it breaks away your egos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're just playing again. And, but you can't really, I don't think you can start that when they're 14.
Right.
I think when they're three and four, and they see that you're willing to work through problems or conflict with humor and play, and let's just get through this. And at the end of the day, it's all, you know, we're in this together.
What do you say to the parents who maybe don't necessarily have that playful side? Mm-hmm. Maybe the parents are a little shy. Yeah. They're the more introverted parents who mm-hmm. are not playful themselves.
Yeah.
That's got to be a challenge, I would think, for them to integrate play in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because when I've spoken to like preschool groups and mom blogging mm-hmm. at conferences and stuff, and I've talked about this, I have absolutely had moms come up to me, and they're mainly moms because that's who I tend to speak to, but I have a feeling that maybe they're...
Our dads too.
Yes. Sure. I know that because some of the moms have said to me, my husband isn't either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I've found that, there are some causes for that. And one of them is that they don't like to feel out of control. They feel like mm-hmm. if they begin this playful crazy,
yeah.
if someone's going to get hurt and it's going to get nuts and I don't know how to, you know.
Yeah.
And so it takes practice to allow yourself in little doses to jump in a little bit. And it doesn't have to be this gregarious, crazy clown play. You know, if mm-hmm. if you're an introvert, that might not be the way you express
maybe
playfulness.
It's like through board games or something, or you know, something smaller. Did I just say what you're gonna
no,
say?
No, but you're spot on.
I was just thinking, I was like, maybe it's something more mellow like
yeah,
that.
It doesn't have to, not everybody's playfulness looks the same.
Yeah,
like my husband is 6'7" and he skips
so tall
down the sidewalk looking like Buddy the Elf from Elf.
Oh,
like,
that's amazing.
And it's embarrassing but hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because he's this long, tall, 6'7" dude, you know, yeah. skipping down the sidewalk. He would say, you cannot be grumpy and skip at the same time. It's just like impossible to do. And it's, right. it just makes you smile. You can't not smile when you're skipping. So he used to do that. And for him, that was comfortable. For some other dude, that is not going to be comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you find what it is. And often what I... So in my book, I have a thing, a sheet for in the play for yourself section that is a play profile. And so you fill out this play profile. And it's really about like what... lit you up as a child. What did you love to play as a yeah. child? And when you go back... You do a little regression, you know, uh-huh. on yourself and you go back and just think. I say, take 15 minutes and think, like, what did I love playing? Uh-huh. Start there with your kids, because that's going to be the most natural mm-hmm. thing for you. And then when you get comfortable there, then you'll be a little more, you know, yeah. apt to like do some other stuff with them and follow
so
their
funny
lead too.
That you say that, because when I was little, I'm just thinking now, when I was little, I loved to dress up and I loved to be like, act silly and like try to make people laugh. Oh, and I still do too.
And you're an actress.
And I'm totally an actress, but it's so funny now because thinking about that, and I see so much of myself in her in that way. But when you say that, it kind of goes, makes me think, oh my gosh, that's exactly mm-hmm. what she does. And you know, that's yeah. exactly who I was. So it's probably why I love to dress up with her. And like,
and you're comfortable.
She comes in when I do my makeup and she has her own little makeup brushes and with no makeup on them, but yeah, then she yeah. pretends yeah. She wants to put on deodorant with me. Like, it's just so
well,
funny.
so much of our, I mean, look at like the preschool classrooms mm-hmm. and the old kindergarten classrooms of days gone by
yeah.
where we had dress up and kitchens and mm-hmm. babies and for boys and girls yeah. and they want to imitate. They want to. I mean, little two-year-olds, they want their own little vacuum because yeah. you have a vacuum.
Yeah.
That's how they learn how the world works.
But there's such a buck up against that where people are like, well, I don't want my child to be, you know, stereotyped in that she's not going to be a Betty Homemaker. Yeah. And I don't want her to think that her role is in the kitchen or cleaning.
But
and
this
that
is
sort
for boys,
thing.
Too.
Yeah. And I think I'm like, I see the boys in there with the dolls in the kitchen and
absolutely.
Stuff just as much.
They don't know it's a problem until you tell them a problem. Right. Someone tells them it's a problem. Exactly. I mean, in my preschool classroom and with my own boys, I mean, I had baby dolls in my house. And
yeah.
especially when my second son was born for my first child, he wanted to do what I was doing with the baby aww. Because I was there. And he would have done it with mm-hmm. a nanny or a manny or whoever was in charge, a daycare provider. You know, mm. it's not about creating, you know, housewives.
Right,
you know, that's
right.
not what, that's not what
exactly,
you're doing. And
exactly.
they don't know. They're imitating.
Yeah.
So it's just like girls, boys and girls with toolkits. Mm-hmm. imitating you as yeah. the mom. Maybe you're the one fixing the kitchen sink or, you know, sawing the right. law the wood, or it's not just the dads. It's imitating their parents. It's imitating life. And that's how they through play. And that's how they learn how the world works.
There is so much good stuff in this book. It's also just visually a very appealing book. Like, I aww. Mean, it looks like it's, I mean, you have so much information in here and great ideas. I love
thank
your play
you.
Crates. I love the idea of getting out and about in your town, in your area. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something Chan and I love to do together.
The illustrator in this book, Keenan Higgins, she's got an
so
amazing
cute.
Instagram too. But like, I was thrilled to have her as the illustrator because she brought this book to life.
It's just perfect. And I have to disagree, going back to what we were talking about at the okay. beginning of the show. You are an expert. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. You are definitely an expert. Like, you know what you're talking about. And I'm so excited for you. I want you to tell everybody really quickly before okay. we go where they can find your book and where they can find you.
Okay. So a couple places. So my book is called Well Played, The Ultimate Guide to Awakening Your Family's Playful Spirit. Mm-hmm. And you can get it on at BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon or wherever you buy books, wherever you love to buy books. And MeredithPlays.com is my website. And then, of course, geniusofplay.org. If you want to incorporate more play into your young children's lives and understand the amazing benefits that you're giving them and that play provides them, that's an incredible resource, because not only is it will give you all that information, but there's also expert advice, there's tips and tricks and activities. It's just mm-hmm. a great portal.
A great resource.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a great portal.
I am so glad you came by. This
I'm
is
so
much fun.
To be here.
My brain is literally, I'm like churning right now because I'm thinking, oh, now I'm just going to amp up the play. I mean, yay. We already do so much, but it reinforces for me that mm-hmm. we're on the right track. And yeah. It's so nice to hear that as a parent, because you sometimes yeah. you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but it's nice to hear.
I wanted this book to be, and at the end of it, I say, this is your, maybe it's the beginning, I say it's your permission slip to play.
Right.
It gives you the permission to play. We all know it's good for us, but we mm-hmm. sometimes we need to give ourselves permission.
Oh, totally. So no, and I will take it.
All right.
I will take your permission. Okay. Meredith, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This has been so much fun. This is my first podcast.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it.
Thanks. I love it.
You did it good. You started with the best. It's all downhill from here.
Exactly. You're the pro. Now I'm going to be like everybody else. Just bah.
I know.
I
boring.
Best.
No. Yeah. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening this week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.